Okay, we have a guest speaker this morning. A couple months ago, I think it was, Allison said to me that she had something that was stirring in her heart, and so I said, okay, you know, get it together. And so it took us a little while, but she finally got it together. But Allison is going to come to minister. Kids up through age 11 can go to class this morning. And Allison is going to come and minister. I believe it's going to be a great word from God. Amen? Praise God. Welcome her. Oh, sit down. Oh, gosh. So I don't know if I got it together or not, but we'll see. So good morning. So I want to start out with a little confession slash testimony. I've never done this before, and really the fear, the speaking in public is really, it's like the scariest thing in the world to me, and some of you do it all the time. It's no big deal, but it's sort of a big deal for me. So I do know that a couple months ago, I said to Diane, you know, I really feel like there's something inside of me. And I've had words spoken that, you know, this would be something I would do. And I don't want to do it, but I don't want to be outside of the will of God. So I got this message, and I spent a few weeks running away and being a Jonah and plugging my ears and trying to ignore that it was ever spoken. And I was literally miserable. I was at such unrest and angst and anxious, and it was a horrible thing. So as soon as I committed to doing this, the peace of God just came over me. So as nerve-wracking as it is in the natural, I know I'm in His will, and I just pray that I'll just, you know, let it flow. But and you know, coming to this church, what other church have you ever heard of is a training ground for His people? You know what I mean? Leadership out there does not relinquish their power or control or the podium for the congregation. So I just applaud Diane and you people for your graciousness and the training ground, really, that you've created here. So here we have a greater potential for meeting our potential in Christ. So here we go. And I'm going to try not to like read and drone on, but I'll have to periodically. So, so don't run from God. There's a reason He put Jonah in a boat. He could have had, you know, eagles fly in and swoop him away, or He could have put him on a donkey, but He put him on a ship, because if you run from God, you will go off the deep end. So don't do it. And He has put in all of us, you know, a certain set of skills that He has purposed in you for such a time as this and for such a place as this. And if you run from Him, He will find you and He will use you for His glory. So, which brings me to another little confession. I am a movie nerd. And I like movies. God speaks to me through movies. And lots of times when I watch movies, I get those moments where it's like, you know, The Office, where you go just stare into the camera like something just goes off. So they are, after all, imitations of life. So periodically, I'll throw in a movie reference, gonna have some movie clips, make some popcorn. You know, hopefully we're just gonna have some fun. Because I'm not a real deep thinker. If you're looking for a deep revelation on obtaining and abiding in the seventh heaven, floating around on clouds with lightning bolts, I'm probably not going to deliver that today, so don't be disappointed. Hopefully, though, we will all leave here feeling encouraged, empowered, feeling loved, and hopefully we'll have some fun getting there. So, Diane and Michelle used some of my stuff last week, so it might be a recap, some of this stuff, but we're supposed to keep each other in remembrance. So, you know, God's word doesn't have to be deep, like I said, but That's why he was born in a manger, and he used fishermen to spread his word. They weren't scholars, they weren't theologians, they weren't the Pharisees that Jesus chose, so I guess he can use every one of us too. So I just want to pray. Father, in the name of your son Jesus, I ask that you would use me this morning as a conduit, that nothing in me would inhibit you working through me. I surrender my mind and my mouth to you, Lord, and I thank you in advance for your grace, that you give us all ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts healed, and minds transformed by your word, and that we all leave here encouraged and empowered to change. So if I were to give a little title to this, it would be Living on Purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he has planned for us long ago." So I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of my life stressing and fretting about, what am I supposed to do? What's my purpose? And I see other people out, doing big things. They're drilling wells in Africa. They're feeding the poor. They're, on medical missions trips, and they're doing like these big, huge things. But then here I am in my comfy little upstate New York life, and just going to work, and what am I supposed to do? I'm not doing enough. But time went by, and circumstances being what they were, I just forgot about it. I didn't stress about it. I didn't give it much thought. And then it dawns on me that our purpose is to live on purpose every day, every decision we make. And these little decisions, living the, what do we call it? The steps to a prosperous life. Drink water, pray in tongues 5 minutes, pray a little bit. And, they might seem insignificant, but it's the little decisions on top of little decisions on top of little decisions that make a difference in our life. So I have this little time travel quote that Michelle tried to steal last week. So, when people talk about traveling to the past, they worry about radically changing the present by doing something small. But barely anyone in the present really thinks that they can radically change the future by doing something small. So it is the small choices that we make. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And it's not always the colossal, obvious errors that we make. It's the little errors on top of little errors that snowball into how did I get here moments. So these little decisions are choices or choices that we make. I kind of saw them as pixels in a digital frame or in a digital picture. So what is the picture that your pixels are painting? And what decisions are you making that are that are creating your pixels? So there are things that we have to do not to earn our salvation or to earn God's love or acceptance. Although we do have to make a decision for him, that's the first decision we make. And as soon as we make Jesus our life's goal and invite him into our heart and become saved, that's when he empowers us with his grace and his wisdom to enforce the victory he's already won. So he enforces us to make these decisions. So Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God." In Isaiah 61:3, he says, "Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." In Ephesians 4:22-24, we put off our former conduct and we put on the new man. And in Romans 12, the word says, "Do not be conformed to this world. Be conformed to the word, not the world." So these are all actions and choices that we make for taking responsibility for obtaining the victory. But we don't do it on our own strength. We let him work through us. So we have the grace to do the things that lead us to a godly, prosperous life. So what picture are your pixels painting? And think about it for a second. If you don't like the picture, you don't blame your circumstances or someone else. Because in the midst of negative circumstances and negative people, you still have the ability and the grace to paint a beautiful picture. So Paul was in prison, and not prison like we know it. I think from things that I've heard, the prison was horrifically horrible. And I even heard, too, that they would strap dead bodies on the backs of some of the prisoners to really enforce, like, a sense of death and decay and the end. So, I don't know. Try to live through that. When he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And Peter, in the midst of the storm, chose to walk on the water. But maybe you do like the picture you're painting. Maybe your life is going good, but you don't have that inside peace. So then you want to ask, why are your pixels painting that picture? You know, what are the motives behind your decision? I used to think that if I did A, B, C, then God was obliged to do X, Y, Z. So my motives were to make God, if I'm really good and I cross all my T's and dot all my I's and all my ducks are in a row, then God has to do something else for me. But he's already done everything for me he's ever gonna do. We don't have to make him do anything. All we have to do is enter into what he's provided. So don't let fear be a motive. Don't let, you're not gonna make God do anything. You know, you're not God's bully. You're not his Holy Spirit. So it's about our motives. Hold on, I'm catching up. So yeah, he's already done everything that he's going to do. It's up to us to receive what he's given us and enforce the victory. So a storm comes. A storm comes in life, and we press in, we cry out, we spend time on the floor and pressing into God, and he sees us through the storm. And then plants our feet on solid ground, and then we let go. And then another storm comes, we press in, we cry out, we hang on to God. He gets us through another storm, praise the Lord, and then we let go. So I have this little photo, the storm photo. I thought this was good. This I just stumbled across. When you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person that walked in. That's what the storm is all about. So, gosh, I don't know why I'm getting emotional all of a sudden. Because I've experienced God's grace. So the storm, if we allow it, makes us stronger. In Romans 5:4, it says that the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And, you know, the disciples, how privileged were they got to actually walk with Jesus? I mean, we can now too, but in the physical, how cool would that have been? So cool. So they see Jesus feed the multitude out of one, you know, a loaf of bread and a fish. And then they had 12 baskets left over. So right after that miracle, they take their baskets onto a boat. Jesus goes to pray. Storm comes up, and they all start to panic. Here they have in their possession evidence of the miracle. Instead of having faith, they start to panic. And we do that too. So we need to stop doing that. Just rest in him always. When there is no storm, cling on to him like there was. And then we become the storm. When there is no storm, press in, cry out, and be the storm wherever you go. Change the atmosphere. Don't ever let go, because there is nothing that we can do without him. Nothing. I mean, hard things, easy things, there's nothing you can do without him. You can't have a good relationship, you can't enjoy your job, you can't enjoy your kids, you can't enjoy your parents, you can't enjoy anything in life without first tapping into him. Even, the, you know, you think about these people who are rich in the world, they don't have God, and I'm sorry, they are not at peace. They cannot understand the depth of peace without the Lord. And, you know, money can buy you happiness, but it's fleeting. It will never, ever, ever last. So yeah, change the atmosphere, declare and believe and walk in the victory that he's already provided for us. And you say, how do I walk in the victory if my circumstances don't change and if that person is still being a jerk to me or if I still hate my job? Or you got to get a new perspective, a kingdom perspective. The king, you know, we sing that song, the kingdom is ours kind of perspective. You want to inhabit the kingdom. These are the laws and the authority that we have to operate in. You know, like if you go to an embassy outside of the country, you're an American citizen no matter where you go. And we operate under American laws and citizenship. Well, before that, we are citizens of the kingdom. And it's those laws and those authorities that we operate under. So you want to speak what you want to see to inhabit the kingdom. I want to see certain things. I want to see his kingdom come. So I'm going to speak his kingdom into existence because he's given me a creative voice to speak it. God didn't look into the darkness and go, dang, that's dark. He looked into the darkness and he said, let there be light. I don't want to look at junk going on and talk about the junk going on. It gets you nowhere except deeper into junk. So, do you ever wonder how you bless the Lord? What do you give the guy that's already got everything? How do I bless the Lord? The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the creator of life and everything. You take everything that he's died to give you. He sacrificed it all so we could have it all. So, and to do that, we got to see ourselves through his eyes. Don't see yourself through anybody else's eyes, not even your own. Your own are the worst eyes to look through. You know yourself. You know yourself too well, so just don't do that. You ever see that game that, I forget the name of it, but they give you little red glasses to put on so that you could see the thing on the card like it's charades or something, and you have to act this out. But so nobody else can see it, you put these little glasses on to see it. Well, they're red. So I imagined once that that's the blood of Christ that I'm going to see myself through. And really, we should see each other through that lens as well. And it exposes things that you can't see with your own eyes to see through his. And only you and he knows what's inside of you. So don't let someone else judge you. You know what's inside of you. So just see yourself through his eyes and step into what you know he's put there, whatever it is, whether it's digging wells or whether it's just having a kind word for someone. And don't doubt and don't be afraid of your potential in Christ. If you think about the potential that we have, when we tap into the kingdom and we see ourselves through his eyes, and we believe the power that raised Christ from the dead is in us, that same spirit is in us, you meditate on that a minute and tell me you don't get a little excited or a little, like, what does that look like? It can be kind of scary. But see yourselves as sons and daughters of the King. So back to the little the movie reference I have. I'm going to play a clip. from, oh, and let me just say too, that I like fantasy movies. I know y'all, maybe a lot of everybody doesn't like them, but I think that we should explore our imaginations. Don't just be conformed to whatever. Let's, you know, imagine the craziest things. So anyway, I mean, godly crazy things. So anyway, go down another road. That'll be bad. So do that, Lord. So you know that cage she speaks of? That cage is, that's what we should all be afraid of, really. And that cage is fear. Whatever you fear that keeps you from entering into all that he has for you. Because then what his answer was, you're a daughter of kings. That will not be your fate. So if we can get outside the cage, that will not be our fate. So here's another one. Nobody puts baby in a corner. So I'm sort of embarrassed to admit that I like that movie. What's the movie? No, nobody puts baby in a corner. Dirty Dancing. Yeah, I'm a little embarrassed that I like that movie. It's really not about anything holy and righteous. A lot of fornication, adultery, abortion, but you know, it's also about forgiveness. It's about making mistakes and not letting your mistakes keep you down, because every single one of us in here have made some mistakes. So you know, don't see yourself through the world's eyes either. The world might see you one way, doomed for the corner, but God sees you stage worthy. He sees you wearing his robe of righteousness. So you need to shake off anything that would put you in the corner. And I want everybody to say, and I want you to insert your name, you know, like insert your name here. Nobody puts your name in a corner. So say it. Nobody puts Allison in the corner. So, and also, let's shake it off. I went to a ladies' conference once, and we all came up to the altar for ministry or whatnot, and she came down the road, she looked at me, and she goes, you need to shake it off. Shake it off. So, she goes, no, shake it off. So, I want everybody to stand up. And then hunch over. And picture that thing that is the biggest burden to you. The thing that you can't stand carrying anymore. And now just shake it off. Now stand up straight. And now stomp it into the ground. Okay, you can sit down. So that's what she made me do. I mean, because you know what? You do silly, stupid things like that. And you know, part of our weapons, part of the weapon in our arsenal is joy. And life is too serious to be taken so seriously. We all screw up, shake it off, and move on. Get about on the stage where God can twirl you around and do the lift, and, you know, there's stuff to do. Don't be conformed to the corner. It's not where we belong. We are daughters and sons of the King. We wear his crown, not ours. And age doesn't matter. I didn't mean to look at you, Chuck. My eyes just gazed over there. I'm sorry. Yes. So, okay. Right, it does not matter. You know, I follow this guy, Lance Wallnau, on line, and he was talking about how, you know, a lot of the leadership in this country is in their 70s or older. And he goes, God is raising the bar of usefulness or something. I forget exactly how he said it, but age does not matter. You know, God can speak. Look at, Wyatt. So, yeah, Wyatt had a word. They were talking about something stirred in him, and he heard Genesis 6 something. So they looked it up, and it was perfect. God can use children. He can use middle-aged people, young people, old people. His spirit is alive and active in each one of us that receive it. To my next point, we also we need to respond and participate. So God doesn't need professionals. He needs participators. So you have to believe yourself. Believe in him in you. So believe in yourself. So now I have this photo of the creation of man. So there's God stretching, I can barely reach it. And here we are. That's about it. Somebody peel me a grape. I'm exhausted. So, with this new kingdom perspective, let's press in a little bit. Let's do something. Not just to do it, to make God do something for us, but he's done so much for us. He's reached as far as he can go. He's done it all. So do something that makes you feel a little uncomfortable. Even if it's, let that car pull out in front of you without racing into them. Or have a nice word for someone at the grocery store. Hey, I love your new haircut. Looks like I love your haircut. I love the shoes you're wearing. Where'd you get them? Be nice to people. We don't have to hear a choir of angels sing a song and have a light beam come down on somebody before we move or let God work through us. It's these little things, these little pixels that we create on the daily basis that brings his kingdom to the earth. And during worship. I mean, we've talked about this too, but it's like, well, God sees me. God can meet me here in my back seat in my chair. And I'm a back seat chair sitter, so I'm not pointing at anybody. But, you know, I feel like we're kind of leaning back. Let's participate. Let's do something to, like, stir up his gift within us. Let's do something to stir somebody else up. Let's participate. That's fun. It's fun to participate. You might feel like an idiot for a little while, but it's okay. Believe me. I have a lot of experience there. It's you survive. It's all right. And our motive for participation, again, it's not to make God do something. It's not to say, well, look what I did. Aren't I great? So God, you owe me to do something good too. Anyway, so, and I know my husband loves me, but I want to see it. He can't just get off with just, well, you know I love you. And he doesn't. He's just the most awesome husband I could have ever asked for. Talk about above and beyond anything you could ask or think. It took a while, but no. Only kidding. He is a man of grace to put up with me for 32 years. So anyway, so, and we need to get involved with the world. I think a lot of us just want to be, I really just only want to associate with church people and only the ones that I like. I really don't want to go out there and be around people I don't like, be surrounded people with problems. I don't want to do that. It's uncomfortable. But we're supposed to bring our storm into the world. And don't think that there's no point. And don't think that there is such a thing as a lost cause. And don't think that evil is stronger than us. Because it ain't. And that's about getting the kingdom perspective, about realize that you carry inside of you, again, that's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I could say that all day long. Is that awesome? That is crazy awesome. What is deeper than death? What is deeper than the depths of hell? What is stronger than that? His spirit that lives in us? Dang. And we are part of this world for a reason, and that's the reason, to bring a storm and to make a change. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So now I have another little clip. Roll it. So he wanted her to go back. And she knew what was inside of her. She knew the battle that she had to enforce that victory. Because evil is not stronger than us. He has given us the power and the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing shall by any means harm us. So we also have to, in order to do all this stuff, and not that there's a lot of stuff to do, but it's a mind change. The only way we can do it is to be anchored in the Lord, to anchor our soul to the Lord. I mean, in these days, it is almost literally a jungle out there. And if you don't anchor yourself, you can find yourself swept away in a wave of tantrums and problems and potential, who knows, they make things up that's horrible, some horrible thing's gonna happen. So, oh my gosh, you have to be anchored in the Lord and keep your focus fully on him. He's the only thing that never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love never wavers. His grace is ever present, and he never has a bad day. And he is for you. He is not judging you. You know, we hear about, oh gosh, we're going to stand before the judgment seat. He is not going to, this is my own personal movie. So we're standing at the judgment seat. Are you in Christ? Yes, you ascend. Are you in Christ? No. See ya. That, I feel like that is the depth of judgment, because all of his wrath was poured out on Jesus at the cross. There's nothing left for me. Jesus took it all. All of my sins are cast into the sea of forgetfulness. He's not going to bring one single thing up. So what is there to judge? Are you saved or are you lost? That's what I feel is the only judgment. And don't let, I said this before, but don't let anyone else judge you either. We have to walk out our own salvation. And with fear and trembling, it's not like fear and trembling, ooh, I'm afraid. It's with authority and with excitement and knowing that he is for you and with you. Hold on here. And we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So don't let fear ever be a motive. If you're feeling afraid about something, don't make a decision. Don't do anything. Just take a chill, press into him, cast your fear onto him, because there is no place for fear in the body of Christ. We can rely on his goodness and his kindness and his mercy. He is our strong tower, a refuge, a safe place. And we can have a confidence that as we enter the battlefield, our weapons are tried and true, and we're not winning the battle. We are enforcing a battle that has already been won. We're not getting healed. We're not being, we don't need protection. We don't need to be provided for. We are already healed. We are already protected, and we are already provided for. We have peace. We have joy. We're filled with love and wisdom. We don't have to ask for these things. We just got to get them. Just press into him and get what you need. It is all available. The kingdom of heaven is available to reach into and to pull out what you need. We are victorious warriors. The minute we got saved, we were enlisted into his army, and we are being trained, and we're becoming battle ready. And we carry the spirit of the living God inside of us to enforce that victory. So I have a song that I want us to play, and it's a quiet song. It's not depressing. For those who think that quiet songs are depressing, this is an opportunity to listen to the Lord. It's an opportunity to just have some quiet time and to kind of seal whatever it is he's spoken in you today. Whatever he's deposited, take a minute, and it's like sealing wax. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to just pour that warm oil on you and then just seal it and own it and take whatever he's deposited in you today and be changed and be encouraged. And don't be afraid of quiet songs. If we were constantly vacuuming our house, we'd never know who was knocking at the door. So take quiet moments and just listen and let his love just overwhelm you. Let his goodness and his mercy just overcome you.